Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Broad Experience, the show about women, the workplace, and success. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite. This week, success on a manageable scale. We're used to hearing stories of type A personalities and the incredible feats they pull off on the career front, but that can be a bit intimidating to those of us who don't have the energy or desire to scale the heights of a vast corporation or work 16-hour days as a fast-track entrepreneur. Frankly, I've always considered my personality a bit more of a B+. In this episode of the show, we meet a pair of business partners who have carved their own distinctive entrepreneurial niche as sex and relationship writers.
We have each other to give each other motivation, and it really helps in terms of discipline when it's not just you have to answer to, you have at least one other person, but it's not a hierarchical structure. We're equal partners. I think that's a very feminine quality.
Coming up on The Broad Experience. Some of you may know the names Em and Lo. They began their careers at the rather daring online magazine and dating site Nerve.com. They left Nerve almost 10 years ago to go out on their own, and they've been together ever since. Their real names are Emma Taylor and Lorelei Sharkey.
I'm Em, or Emma Taylor, and I met Lo at Nerve.com back in the beginning of 1999. I was hired by the company to help them get their online community going. So I met Lo on my first day on the job. She hadn't actually been there for my interview, so she had no say in my being hired. Unfortunately, we got on because we were sharing a desk and a phone line and a job basically from the first day. So our first job together was to create Nerve's community space. So we created homepages and email and this messaging board, and we created Nerve Personals together. And once all these people were coming to the site to find dates and find love and find sex, we realized that these people needed a little bit of instruction and could use some advice. And so before Nerve could hire somebody with actual experience, we just started writing a column ourselves and uploading it to the server.
And that eventually got syndicated because the personals got popular. So it was being syndicated to various, a whole bunch of different websites, over 100, I think, at some point, like Salon and The Village Voice.
And The Onion.
The reason why we wanted to do it was because we had created this voice together, creating the community space. And we always felt like, you know, we were opinionated. We had things to say on the topic. And we thought we'd had a good perspective, one that we didn't really often see in women's magazines. They were a little too coy, and we thought we could offer advice that was a little bit more down to earth, a little funnier, a little bit more open and honest, and maybe use more swear words. So that's how that all started.
And it wasn't very professional when we first started. We would go to a bar after work with a little pad of paper and write our column together over gin and tonics or wine.
And cigarettes.
Lots of on an actual pad of paper. Yeah, with a lot of cigarettes. That was before New York's smoking ban, too.
I actually think that we worked harder back then. And we really labored over every sentence and every word and really tried to get it right, even though we were having fun and drinking at the time.
And like, we worked hard to be funny because we always felt like if you are funny, you kind of take people off their guard a little bit, and people are willing to hear a little bit more. You just knock them off their guard a bit when you're being funny about a topic like sex.
It worked, and they built up quite a following. These days, their site, emandlow.com, gets 300,000 to 400,000 visitors a month. Over the years, they've written many books about sex, made a British TV show they say they can barely watch, and had their columns widely syndicated. Emma says she feels they got lucky in terms of when they entered the workplace.
It's funny, we both just finished reading Lean In because we're reading it for our book club, which meets tonight. But I found that there was so much of it that I didn't relate to because I've always worked for internet companies. And when we worked at Nerve, there was this couple who ran the company and they were our age. Everybody we worked with was our age. There wasn't really that kind of masculine dude culture that you get in investment banking or consulting or in the business world necessarily. So a lot of what she was talking about in that book, I didn't really relate to because I've never been in that kind of work environment. And when we were working, we were in our early 20s, everybody was online. There was this sense that people in their 20s knew a lot more than people in their 40s and 50s, even if that wasn't necessarily true. But in that particular industry, it felt true at the time. So I think that gave us confidence. You felt like you had a lot to say, even if you were only 23 and in your second job out of college.
That said, they both say they're not immune to falling into some typically female traps as they conduct their business. They may be able to talk about unmentionable subjects frankly and with humor, but when it comes to advocating for themselves, for instance?
We definitely catch ourselves using language in a certain way where we'll read through an email that we're about to send, where we're asking for more money or we're saying what our rate is, and we'll suddenly go through and we're like, let's take out three of those pleases and just make it a statement and not a question. You know, we'll end up saying, you know, if that's okay with you, or how do you feel about this? And, you know, and then we'll look through, and Lorelei's usually the one to say, would a guy write this email? Would he say it that way? Or would he say, this is my rate? And we find ourselves so afraid that, oh, but if we ask for too much money, they'll walk away and find someone else, rather than, no, just negotiate and go in there and ask for what you want, and they'll come back with a counteroffer.
There's another kind of typically female thing that plagues us, which is we're much more creative content writer types. So we're not great at business. Business development. It doesn't interest us that much. We haven't forced ourselves to really delve into that skill set. So I think that that probably has held us back a little bit, because it's really just the two of us doing everything. And I think if we were a little bit more business savvy and pushed ourselves, we could have a huge empire of sex writing. No, I don't know. But it would probably benefit us. And I think we sort of have never, you know, gone in for that type of that side of the business. We're much more on the creative side. I've always sort of associated business with masculinity, or, you know, men, and more creative types with women.
I suspect there will be quite a few creative men and women with business degrees who may want to take issue with that, but research shows most of us instinctively make those same associations. Emma's and Lorelei's lives aren't just parallel on the work front. They match uncannily on the personal front too. Both women married at around the same time, and they each moved out of New York City to small towns very close to one another. And when they started procreating, each had a girl, then a boy. Each time, Emma was exactly 4 months behind Lorelei. Their kids are now best friends. Lorelei says having children and entering their 40s has really forced the two of them to rethink where they're going as a business and a brand.
When we first had kids, I was unsure whether I wanted us to admit to having children online, because we've always written very much about other people. We never really talk about our own personal lives. It's all sort of aspirational and ideal, and we talk about other people's problems, not our own, and we talk about other people's sex lives, really, and not so much ours. But still, I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about our kids, not only in order to eventually protect them and just sort of really keep it separate, but also because in the world that we work in, the sex writing and relationship writing, you know, we got out of the ideal age bracket target market of 18 to 34, and you know, there's that thinking, that terrible thinking, that once you have kids, you're not, you know, sexy, you're not a sexual being, you're not someone, you're not romanticized anymore, there's nothing cool about you. So there was that to contend with. And so as we've gotten older, you know, I guess it always seems like there's like the young, cute, single sex advice writer, and then there's the Dr. Ruths of the sex advice world. And there's not so many in between. So as we've gotten older, I think, you know, we're going to evolve, and we've decided to, you know, be honest about the things that are important to us. And that involves stuff about like gender issues around raising kids. It has to do with reproductive rights. It has to do with, you know, things about HPV vaccines for young girls. It has to do with sex education in schools, because that's going to be really important, even more important to us as our kids get older. And I think, you know, also, what are we going to enjoy writing about? How are we going to evolve when our kids get old enough to surf online? How is that going to work when our fellow parents at our schools and their sons or daughters find us online? What's going to happen then? Is that, you know, what kind of controversy is that going to cause? So it should be interesting.
Talking of outsiders, what do Em and Lo say when someone asks that cocktail party question, what do you do?
Well, I usually try to gauge the person's, how conservative they are. And if I sense that they are probably conservative, I just say that I write about relationships. Or if they're an older person or somebody's parents, that's what I'll say. But I am not ashamed of what we do and what we've written. I'm proud of it. And I think it's important, because I think good sex education is very important. So I just come out and say, maybe, you know, I might say relationships and sex. Just put, you know, Emma and I write about relationships and sex. Put the relationship first to sort of cushion the blow of the word sex. But most people are amused by it or interested. I've had moms come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I checked out your site. I love what you do. That's amazing. Or, you know, or somebody told me what you do. I went home and I looked online. I think, you know, it's great. I couldn't stop reading. I subscribed to your site.
We just had one. There was our kids were both taking a music class together at the same time, and the music teacher's husband had checked out our site, and he couldn't look us in the eye after that. Whenever we walked in, he'd always get really red and awkward and have to leave the room.
These two can liven up life in a small town. They are, after all, the authors of a book called 150 Shades of Play, and they held a book party for that at their local country library. I don't think the music teacher's husband went to that one. The women know they do something pretty unusual, and they say life has been quite a bit tougher since the recession hit in 2008. They've had to chase assignments rather than be offered them on a plate, and editors are paying far less these days. But Lorelei says they still love what they do, and she thinks that's the key for any entrepreneur.
As long as you have something that you're passionate about doing, that's going to motivate you to, you know, figure things out, to sell yourself, to advocate for yourself, and maybe take some risks, which is key, I think, in when you branch out on your own. It's a huge risk, but if you're doing something that you really enjoy, you're going to find a way to make it work.
And what we did in terms of working as a team is that we just figured out a way to make rules that worked for us. And we actually, ridiculously enough, I mean, not ridiculous, but we've never signed any kind of contract between the two of us. It's all handshake, basically. But we have very organized rules around things like maternity leave. We were able to give each other 4 months maternity leave for both kids. We give each other vacations. We give each other time off. And it's all stuff that we've worked out together between the two of us based on how we want our schedules to be. We worked out a way to go part-time together. And I mean, we're not making a ton of money doing what we're doing, but we're working and we're loving it. And we're figuring, whereas with our kids, as much as we want to be, sometimes more than we'd like to be.
I mean, one thing that's great about our situation is we have the independence and freedom of being freelancers, but without the fear and horror of just being out there on your own. You know, we have each other to support each other. Do we have each other to give each other feedback? We have each other to give each other motivation, and it really helps in terms of discipline when it's not just you have to answer to. You have at least one other person, but it's not a hierarchical structure. We're equal partners. I think that's a very feminine quality. where we're really working together. We complement each other. Our differences complement each other in business. You know, I am a little bit more aggressive and more to the point, but Emma's more diplomatic. So before we send an email, I'll say, you know, let's not put in so many questions and let's ask for more money. But she'll you know, run it through the diplomacy machine and say, well, yeah, but let's, you know, be nice about it. So it's great to have a partner that you can trust, that supports you, and that where you have shared goals.
Em and Lowe, you can find them at emandlowe.com. Thanks very much to Mia Lobel for recording this interview. That's The Broad Experience for this time. You can comment on this episode at thebroadexperience.com or on the show's Facebook page. And if you like what you hear, please consider writing a review of the show on iTunes. The Broad Experience is supported by the Mule Radio Syndicate, which hosts a lot of other interesting podcasts, including Impolite Company and Everything Sounds. Coming up over the summer, segments on dealing with horrible women in the workplace and how not to be one, tips for success from a pregnant CEO and a small business owner, and the progress being made by women in technology and journalism. See you next time. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.